Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, today joined by John Endres. Political news over the weekend is that Helen Ziller, federal chairperson of the DA, is toying with the idea of throwing her hat in the ring to become mayor of Johannesburg. Well, this doesn't mean that she would definitely be guaranteed to be the DA's candidate, but I think considering her sort of gravitas, fame, and popularity within the DA, that it's likely that she would be the front runner in that internal contest. Now, I think this is quite a politically interesting development. It's not one that I would have expected in a million years. But, you know, I have been known to get things wrong from time to time. And I think that it is quite a cunning political move. Ziller, of course, has been very successful as mayor of Cape Town before she became the premier of the Western Cape. So she has this immense body of knowledge in governance, not just in governance, but specifically the types of governance that she would need in order to turn the city of Johannesburg around from the position that it's in. She's also, of course, very famous, one of the most famous politicians in the country, up there in terms of name recognition with people like Malema Ramaphosa and Zuma. So that definitely, I think, is an asset in any political campaign. And while the DA being able to govern Johannesburg after the next local government elections, I think, is a little bit of a long shot, it's definitely not impossible if they have a good campaign and the national wind is blowing in their direction. Well, of course, Ziller herself has not confirmed whether she is actually going to do this. She told the Daily Maverick that her family has said that it's basically up to her, but that she's very happy where she is in her sort of semi-retirement with her husband. She likes seeing her grandkids. She likes being with her family, who are now all down in Cape Town. And that if she was mayor, she would stay with her sister in Emerentia in Johannesburg, which I think in terms of optics from a mayor is pretty good. You know, you can imagine them staying, I think she said, in a garden cottage of her sister, which I think is a refreshing change from the sort of atmosphere that you get from a lot of mayors in the past. Of course, we don't know whether she's actually going to make this decision, but John, I guess the other considerations to be thought of here is that first, Helen is, you know, she's been through very many things. She is now 74, so she's still, you know, very energetic and active, but it is something to consider. And, you know, is this going to be rejected by voters? Are they just going to say, oh, you know, the DA is just giving us another person, you know, that we've always had around for a long time. We want someone new. We want someone fresh. I don't know what to entirely make of this, but my sense is that this is probably a pretty good political move if indeed she does seek to go forward with it. What do you make of this?
Yeah, I think this is one of the most interesting political stories to come out of what has already been a very interesting political year with all sorts of twists and turns. This is an amazing development. So the first question I would ask is this a prize that's interesting at all? Because if Helen Ziller were to stand and run for this office and maybe even win it, it would take a huge toll on her, you know, in terms of time requirements, in terms of the abuse she would receive for daring to stand as the mayoral candidate, if she were to win, in terms of the work that awaits her, which is just Sisyphean. It's a huge mountain of work that has to get done to get Johannesburg going again. So
just on that point in particular, what I've heard from people in the DA and also from the reporting in this Daily Maverick story is that this is one of the reasons why perhaps she's considering running, is that the DA seems to be struggling to recruit everyone that would want to run for mayor because it is such a difficult and thankless job. The task is monumental, and there's no guarantee. The DA would almost certainly have to come to power in a coalition. And as we've seen before in the past, that's not a very sure thing, that even if you win the mayorship, that you will stay in the mayor's seat.
Yeah, and we saw Gareth van Onselen, I think, you know, asking the very pointed question, how come that Helen Ziller is the only person that the DA can come up with to attempt this thing? But an obvious explanation is that it's just such a thankless task. You know, it's a very high risk of failure. Very high certainty of unpleasantness and hard work. So who wants to do it? You're not going to find somebody who's willing to do it. And for Helen Ziller to put up her hand, I think, you know, it really speaks to her strength of character and grittiness that she's willing to consider it. But the question to get back to from earlier is the surprise worth the cost and the risk? And I would argue yes. And the reason is that if you look at the statistics of Gauteng, which is the smallest province in South Africa, it occupies just 1.5% of South Africa's surface area. It has a quarter of South Africa's population. So in terms of population, it's huge. It's the biggest province by population. In terms of economy, it produces one third of the country's entire output, 33%, despite being so small. And in terms of personal income tax contributions, 48.1% come out of the province of Gauteng. So the province is very important. And most of the economic value and the population in the province is concentrated in the three metros. So in Johannesburg, Tshwane, and Ekurhuleni. It's a prize worth fighting for the DA. And that means that it's worth investing a lot into winning that prize in terms of resources, in terms of campaigning, in terms of spending, in terms of recruitment, but also in terms of personal cost, which is what Helen Ziller will pay if she does do this. So, you know, the prize waiting at the end had better be worth it, and it is worth it. So it's a very high stakes decision for Helen Ziller to make on a personal level, for the DA to make as a party, but it's also a high stakes decision for South Africa as a whole and for Gauteng and for Johannesburgers. And what I find so intriguing about this notion is that what I see around me as a resident of Johannesburg is really a great state of despondency and depression at the state of our city. You know, Johannesburgers are quite proud of their city. They don't like the way it's looking at the moment. They don't like the way it's being run or run down more accurately. And they would love to do something about this. And to have somebody with big name recognition like Helen Ziller and with a formidable reputation for delivering and for performing turnarounds attached to her, coming to Johannesburg and saying, okay, let's get this fixed, I think is going to galvanize public sentiment in Johannesburg, not only from people who are inclined to align with the DA, but even from opponents. You know, people like you mentioned Adam Habib, who's maybe not always aligned with the DA. Ferial yes. Hafaji, Kayad Langa, we've seen all these people on Twitter grudgingly admitting that, you know, it's not ideal for somebody like Helen Ziller to come in and take the reins. But given the state of Johannesburg and the love that people have for Johannesburg, they want it to be fixed. And if somebody, a serious person like Helen Ziller, can be convinced to do so, I think that is something that many Johannesburgers will get behind.
Yeah, I just want to read that tweet from Adam Habib saying that he's, you know, this is someone who's, shall we say, had very unkind words for the DA in the past. But when this news was reported in City Press, he said it would be in Johannesburg's best hope if she can do what she did for Cape Town. Johannesburg and SA would be better for it. Please don't respond with racialized political rhetoric. Johannesburg needs water, power, roads, and frankly, governance. No one else can deliver it. Ziller can. Ferial Hafaji saying that, or implying in a tweet, another sort of person, commentator, who's not, you know, I wouldn't say completely hostile to the DA, but certainly not super warm to them, saying that this would drive the corrupt in the city of Johannesburg into overdrive of fear that they might lose their lucrative contracts. And I think that's sort of implicitly an endorsement if you're saying that the corrupt are going to be terrified by the approach of a new political figure, a new mayor. Just that was what was kind of shocking to me, is to see sort of this kind of immediate positive reaction. And that's exactly what the DA will need, because the city of Johannesburg will be a very tough prize for the party to take in any kind of stable way. So in the last local government elections, the DA only got 26% of the vote there. The ANC got 33% and Action SA got 16%, the EFF on 10% and the PA on 3%. Now, the DA does not have a great relationship with Action SA, so I think that's difficult to form any coalition based on them in Johannesburg. I think it's very likely the DA would be able to perhaps become the biggest party in Johannesburg in the next municipal government elections. But they're going to have to grow big enough so that they don't have to rely on Action SA and the Patriotic Alliance, I think, if they want to have stable control of that city. Maybe I'm wrong, but that would mean the DA would probably have to increase its vote percentage by up into the 40s, which is a very big jump. Do you think that's possible, John?
Yes, I do think it's possible if you have Helen Zille as the candidate. And the reason I say this is that the long-term polling figures and previous election results are kind of steady state analyses. So you see small changes, shifts in support, but sometimes you have a development that does lead to quite a significant shift. And my feeling is that a Zille candidacy could be that kind of shift. I can imagine, Johannesburgers are themselves quite task-oriented, problem-solving, no-nonsense, get-the-job-done kind of people. And I think that aligns well with Zille's reputation. So if you put those two together and you get the pitch coming out of the DA, let's fix Johannesburg up, shoulders to the wheel, let's roll up our shirt sleeves, let's get it done. I think that is going to really galvanize a lot of support, and it may well push DA support above 40%. Linked to that also, your comment from earlier, the reason this would be very concerning to the ANC is that we see what happened to that party in the Western Cape province, which is that once they found themselves in opposition, they never really found their way back to power. And if that happens to them in Gauteng, then it's going to be a very big problem for the party. So I think that if this Zille candidacy happens, it is going to trigger quite a significant response from the ANC, which will realize that now things are getting really, really serious, and they have to get serious in response to that.
Yeah, I think regardless of who the DA picks, their only shot at getting control of the city of Joburg is going to be if they have an incredible mayoral candidate. This is not going to be something that they can sort of, they're not going to be carried by the winds of how the national wind is blowing. That may help them if things are going well in their favor, but the task of getting themselves into power is so great. And, the DA has been in control of Joburg before, and they haven't been able to make the changes that they've been promised. And I think that's one of the reasons why they've kind of struggled a bit, is that they've, had to kind of say, okay, well, we couldn't quite do it that time, and there's complicated reasons for it, but we'll do it this time. You just need to give us another chance. And I think it'll be very difficult for the party to recover if they do get control of Joburg and then aren't able to make the magics happen. So in a lot of ways, I think this is kind of once in a political generation shot for the DA. And maybe Helen is the person who can do it.
Yeah, but again, I think the task is so great that it might not be doable. It could be the case that the administration is so rotten and you can't get it to perform even with the best will and the best management. And that would be quite devastating. I hope that's not true. I hope that somebody can turn the city around, but clearly it's going to take a very significant effort.
Yes, yes. Anyway, that I think will be the central sort of battleground of the next municipal government election. All of the Gauteng metros are going to be big battlegrounds, but Joburg is the country's most important city. And how it goes, I think, will shape many things to come in South Africa. So that's going to be fascinating to watch as a political junkie. Let's very briefly cover our next story and then a comment on the BEE debate after that. But our next story is that there is concern being raised in Parliament about the state of South Africa's military bases. It seems that a significant number of bases are experiencing land invasions. People are establishing informal settlements or just simply moving onto and using military bases and the land around them across the country. Apparently, the Marievale base in the East Rand is being used by some local people to keep cows and goats in a corral. In other places, there are these sort of shack settlements being set up. Bases are suffering because you have these very poor communities next to them, and as a result, their capacity is diminished due to, quote, rampant theft of vehicle parts, electrical cables, IT equipment, and office supplies infrastructure, including perimeter fencing and security lights, according to some of the reports in Parliament. John, you know, if your military isn't able to keep its equipment in order because someone has stolen the wrenches, let's just say, it's not a great look.
No, it's not. And it gives us a good opportunity to talk about property rights again. So the government itself owns quite a bit of property, but it also has the job of protecting property that is owned by whoever may be the owner. And the fact that the government can't protect its own property does not bode well for the property of others. And, you know, that's reflected all around us in high crime statistics and land invasions in many areas, squatter camps and so on. And building a functioning economy without strong property rights is very, very difficult, maybe impossible. And so this is, it's more than just a canary in a coal mine. This is like a whole flock of canaries sort of dropping to the floor and showing a warning signal of what's going on.
No, exactly right. And of course, this is not the only government property that's being misused. Municipal and national government property across the country is often falling into disrepair, which is, you know, diminishing the capacity of the state to do various things. Perhaps it would be better if they just sold off quite a lot of it and actually gave it to people with freehold title rather than just letting it decay. But that's a conversation for another day. All right, let's finish off by just talking briefly about the state of the debate on BEE. I think today we saw a big pushback in the opinion pages and in the sort of ideas space from various defenders of BEE. There was an article in the Mail and Guardian saying that a future without broad-based BEE and affirmative action is not possible. The head of the Black Management Forum writing that piece, President Cyril Ramaphosa saying that Black economic empowerment is vital to inclusive economic growth. And let's just say that, unsurprisingly, perhaps I didn't find a lot of these arguments particularly convincing. Business leadership CEO also said that transformation is key to South Africa's economic growth. This one in particular sort of frustrated me because it begins with this comment that, you know, South Africa really hasn't been able to transform our society from one where most people are poor to one where, you know, there's lots of people in the middle class. And then immediately the conversation jumps to the discussion of top level management. And it's sort of like, this is, the problem is not that we don't have enough managers of this race or that race. The problem is that we have millions and millions of people living in poverty without any hope for a better future. Your thoughts, John?
Yeah, we see this debate rumbling on now. And, you know, we've, I think, spoken before on the program about a bit of a defensive position from the advocates of BEE. And that defense is being shored up now. You know, so they're under siege. They're marshalling all the forces. They're manning the ramparts. And they're shooting back, trying to defend their citadel, their BEE citadel. What I think they deserve to be challenged on, amongst many other things, is what their conclusion would be if it turned out that their claim was false. In other words, they say that economic growth and racial transformation are compatible. That is something that we from the IR dispute. We don't think that those two things are compatible, and we think that the evidence is all around us. If our opponents were to agree with us that you know, you cannot have economic growth while social engineering on this scale, would they then step away from BEE? I wonder. And I half suspect that they would not, because the interests are actually different to those publicly stated, and there are particular and vested interests rather than an interest in the progress of the entire country.
Exactly. All right. That's all the time we have for today. We hope you found this show interesting. We'll be back tomorrow with the Daily Friend Wrap. Cheers, everyone. That's a wrap. The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.